Thanks, bud. Yep. Well, God bless you, and thankful as always to be here today. And apologize to Nick for such short notice on my video. I wanted to share with you a little bit today about the tender heart. If you take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. And my prayer coming up here today, Dolores and I pray on the way up, and I really pray that I can communicate to you the tender heart, the one that God has for us and that we need to have for each other, because it's very important. Out of the heart proceed all the issues of what? Life. And the reflection of what you give out is what you have inside. Now, once you get born again of God's Spirit, you have God in Christ in you. God's heart behind your heart, or Jesus Christ behind your heart, brain behind your brain, eyes behind your eyes, ears behind your ears. But you need to get that out. And it takes a lot of work. It's not easy. Now, we're going to watch a video, and I will ask you at the end how it made you feel of the video. It doesn't really matter how you feel or how it affected you. What matters is how it should have affected you. That's what really matters. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another." And I just shared on kindness like a little while ago. "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And as you work your heart, you need to have your heart tenderized. And the best example I can give of that is when you're the old man, before you got born again, your heart was hard. Because just like kindness, it's not inherent. It's not inherent to be tenderhearted. It's more like you don't care about anyone or anything, and it's always me, 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 and only me. So the best way I can explain it is, if you ever had a piece of chicken or a piece of steak or something like that, and they have a thing, I was going to bring it and I forgot it, a meat tenderizer. It's like a little hammer, and one side has these little spikes on it, and the other side has flat. And you take the meat, Dolores does this, it's incredible. She can have a piece of chicken like this big, and when she gets done beating on that chicken, and I mean, she beats on it, that thing grows out like from 2 inches to like 6 inches. It's amazing. We need the Word of God to be the hammer or the meat tenderizer for our hearts. We take the Word of God, pummel it in our heart, the seat of our personal belief, and the way we emanate the Word of God to others, give out the Word of God to others, so that that heart, when we give it out, is tender and kind and loving. That's what it needs to be. So we're going to watch this video. Nick's going to play it now. I always give him last minute notice on the videos. So. And
we all know.
None of us are really techno geeko. All right, so this is a video about the SPCA. Warning, some of these images may be too bad to see.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
But you can go on to aspcacommercials.org, and there's a bunch of videos like that. Pretty much, it's all about the animals and the abuse that they suffer. And so the question bodes, how did you feel watching that? You don't have to answer, but your heart should have been touched. And these are only dogs and animals, yet we should be moved because of their plight, because of the inhumanity and the inhumane way that they are made to suffer, and it has really nothing to do with them. But human beings suffer every day the same way. Take that animal. They got chains around their necks. There's a million of them videos you can watch. They're weighted down by the weight of the world. They suffer the chains of doubt, worry, and fear. They are unhappy and they are angry. And for the unborn again, the unbeliever, they are homeless, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's what the unbeliever has. And that's where life is at. And for us also, when I said the chains of doubt, worry, and fear that we have hanging around our necks, you may be born again, and you may say that you're a believer, but you still have to live in the real world. And you have real doubts, real worries, and real fears. But it's up to each of us to come together and help support others. You would send a check for $5 to the ASPCA to save that dog. That dog's not going to do anything for your life. And God knows I love dogs. I know Steve has cats. I know Sandy and Rob have a couple dogs. Got quite a little posse hanging over there, that crew. Rob told me he's the one that sleep next to the bed and all the dogs are up there with Sandy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was just kidding. Come on. So God knows animals are great and they're really nice. But you know what? My dogs come up to me every day and they are always licking me and they want my love and affection. And all they want to do is be petted. But at the end of the day, man, they're just dogs. And they're just cats, and they're just horses, and I'm not saying they're not great, but they can't share the word of God, the life-giving hope that Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and ascended into heaven. When you see that, if you were emotionally moved in some way, that's the best way I can communicate to you the tender heart. But just looking at that video, which I said you can go on the AFPCA and watch that, just looking at that video tells you where your heart is at. Your heart should have been touched. It's sad. I'm not saying you had to cry over it, although I cried Amazing Grace. I still can't sing it, man, after how many years I've been in the Word without crying. Especially, they didn't say it, but when it says a wretch like me, because that's how I feel that I was and feel that I am. Someone said to me that I had a tender heart, and I was a little embarrassed by it, to be honest with you. Not because I was embarrassed that I have a tender heart, but I didn't feel worthy to like even have one, man, to be honest with you. But, it's important to communicate the greatness of that love that you have living in your heart and get it out to others. So what is a tender heart? I can tell you this, it is the opposite of hard-heartedness, which is, and you ought to think about this, egotistical and stubborn, a proud and rebellious attitude. It is selfish, that it is consisted in the committed state of and unsubdued will contrary to the word of God. That's what a hard heart is. It's contrary to the word of God. God is all what? Love. So, if you're not giving out all love, you're not walking on the word, man. And I'm not here to tell you about love or teach about love, but it's the heart, the thing that emanates the issues of life. That is important. A tender heart is a heart that is soft or delicate in substance, not hard or tough, easily moved to sympathy or compassion. And when you see something like that, that's what you see. When you see a homeless man, do you think, oh, look at that old dirt bag? If you do, guess what? You're thinking wrong. If you're thinking you're right all the time, clues are being handed out, you're not. And neither am I. And I'm not yelling at you. I just want you to understand where we're at today. Because my heart hurts because I see your heart hurt. And that's the truth. I ask people how you feeling, how you doing. Man, when they don't say not too good, I feel bad, man. I feel Janet. Feel bad Janet's getting a cold. Rob was telling me maybe she's not getting a cold. I retract that statement. You're not getting a cold. But you get the gist. Rob was hacking a little bit. He said he'd be all right, but I felt bad. I felt bad for my daughter. I went shopping with her yesterday, and it was like she was on 100 lines of meth. Man, she was bouncing off the walls. She's buying stuff. She bought a house. I was feeling bad for her. I'm thinking like, man, what's up with that? You know? Calm down, Jewel. Take a breath. You know, I love you. Everything's going to be all right. Everything will get done. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. There's so many things I really wanted to say today, and there's just not near enough time to say them all. But I will tell you that God wants us to be happy, and He wants us to communicate that happiness, that love, and His heart to each other. That's what He really wants. And I'm sorry if you were bothered by that video. I apologize for that. But that was one of the ways I thought I could communicate the kind of heart you need to have. You need to look at people and you need to see beyond them, beyond where they're at, because those people are hurting. They're in great need. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and this is a little bit about Adam. All the things we're going to read today, I'm sure you've read a million times. But I hope that my prayer is that you would see them in the light of a tender heart. Verse 15 of chapter 3, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And that right there in the very big inning, the first inning, God shows a tender heart. How? It's not good for man to be alone. Now you would think Adam had it all going on. Garden of Eden, couple rivers rolling, plenty of fruit, trees. I mean, it didn't get much better than that. I'd give almost anything to get there. Someday I will. Maybe not in the Garden of Eden, but you know, God wanted more for him. That's how much God wants for us. That's his heart towards us. His heart is that even though we think it's as good as it gets, it's not. It can always get better. And we need to communicate that to people. We need to tell them that. And what did I say is the one way of getting it? We use the word as the meat tenderizer to pound at our hearts to make it tender and soft so that we can give that out to each other. We don't need to be egotistical. We don't need to be stubborn. We don't need to be contrary to God's word. We need humility of mind. We need meekness. We need to be humble when we go to the word. And as we go to the word, we need to take that word and give it to others with all the love that we have in our hearts. Go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, please. We're going to see another little record. So we went from God, and now we're going to go to Jesus Christ. It was very hard for me to stay real positive on this teaching because the opposite of the tender heart is that hard heart, like I said. And the problem with that is there's so much ego involved in the hard heart. And pretty much, if you're an egotistical person, I'm here to tell you, you're not manifesting anything that has to do with a tender heart. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't think highly of yourself because you have God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, you have that. And you should think of yourself as a son of God. You are great. You are the all-powerful Oz on the face of the earth. You have God in Christ in you. And you can heal the sick and raise the dead. You know what? As you're going to see in a little bit, it's hard to communicate that when you're saying one thing and doing something else. It's very, very hard. Your actions need to speak louder than your words. And your actions need to match up with the words that you speak. So, John chapter 8, verse 1, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Verse 2. Oh, did I not say 8? Sorry. The Gospel of John 8, verse 1. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. So here's the picture, Jesus Christ walking into the temple, he's sitting down, he's just teaching people. Could be a little fellowship like it is today. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act. So here's a girl, she was taken in the act of adultery, literally caught with her pants down, I would suppose. And what happened? They caught her. And they bring her into Jesus Christ to see what he's going to do. Now, if he's got a hard heart, and he's egotistical, and he's stubborn, and he's contrary to the word, he's not going to be able to help that woman. Because you know what he's going to say? Which in the end, as you all know, he says, let Israel without sin take the first stone. He's going to grab a brick and start swinging it. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that. And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? That happens every day of our lives. Somebody's going to come to you and say, this is the way it ought to be. What do you think? Jesus Christ is God. Do you say, yeah, that's great. Or do you say, I don't know about that. Let's talk about it. You got to... the other day, a fellowship, Yvonne Brown lost her key. No, her phone, right? It was her phone. She lost her phone. She couldn't find her phone. I said, we'll have to say a prayer to St. Anthony to find it. Because if you're a Catholic, you know, you say a prayer to St. Anthony to find things. You know, yo, man, St. Anthony ain't going to find it. He's dead. He's waiting to return along with everybody else. And if St. Anthony finds it, woohoo, you might want to throw it back out. Let me give you a clue, because there might be something happening there. Oh, just kidding. Go a little levity. Yeah. But no, it's the truth. All right. Every day, somebody's going to come up to you and say something. Somebody's going to try and tempt you into saying or doing the wrong thing. But you got to utilize the word of God that's in your mind and living in your heart and get it out. Verse 6, and they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to not just be quick to blot out or blurt out an answer. Sometimes give it a little thought before you speak. When someone does something that you don't like, before you open your mouth, check your heart. Check your heart. Now, I'm just thinking, of something. Some person, you know, they, I don't want to tell you this. But anyway, so somebody is doing something wrong and you don't like it. Check yourself out. Do you not like it because it's not the way you want it? Or do you not like it because it's contrary to the word? Because if it's just the way you don't like it, guess what? Tough beans, ladies and gentlemen. And for me too. Like I said, I'm not throwing a brick here today or accusing anyone of anything. But it's the heart. That's what you have to see, that it's the heart. Jesus Christ knelt down. He could have just said, yeah, get a brick and heave it at her. He could have just said no. He could have said a million things. But he didn't. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ was checking the heart of God. Now, you can call it revelation. You can call it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, Jesus Christ checked with God. He was like cross-referencing himself with the word and what he knew. And Jesus Christ knew the word, and you know that. All right. So, and he wrote in the ground. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he stands up, he gives the appropriate word, and he kneels back down. He doesn't get cocky and say, what do you think about that answer, boys? No, he doesn't say that. He just gets up, speaks a little bit of the word. It wasn't a chapter or a verse. He just gave out the heart of God. That's all he did. And he kneels back down. Enough said. Sometimes what you don't say speaks louder than what you do. It's important to know that. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. He didn't have to say anything. They convicted themselves. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Isn't anybody here? Isn't anybody going to give you a hard time? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Just be on your way. Just be a happy camper. Change your life. Notice Jesus didn't attach any strings as he gave her his tender heart. Not one string at all. He didn't say, and if you sin again, don't bother coming back to me because I'm going to let him brick you. No, he didn't say that. He said, just go and sin no more. Sometimes that's what you have to do for people. You can't give your heart. There's a saying about wearing your heart on your sleeve. It means it's exposed to others. You can't be afraid to put your heart on your sleeve and expose it to others. Tell someone you love them. Tell someone you care. It's very important. But the only way you're ever going to get to that is by allowing the word of God to tenderize your heart and then begin to utilize it. by not being self-absorbed, egotistical, and stubborn. I can't say that enough. Ego is such a great thing, and I'll get to that in a second. Okay, let's move right along. So, take a look at Luke. The Gospel of Luke 15. Is everybody all right? Okay, just checking. So, in Luke 15, this is the record of the forgiving father. And I want you to see that the forgiving father had a tender heart. Because the easy thing for him to do would be, have been to say, "You spent your bucks, kid. Too bad. Be on your way." But he didn't. He utilized his tender heart to show great love. Jesus Christ used that parable to show, one in one aspect, the tender heart and what it takes to have one. Verse 11, and he said, this is Jesus Christ, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, forgive, Father, give me a portion of goods that falleth me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after," verse 13, "the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living." Now, in the old days, I would have said, "My man." Yeah. That could have been me. Yeah, well. All right. Verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." Verse 16, "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So here's this guy, he had plenty of money, and he went out and just blew it all on a really good time. Today it'd be a month in Vegas, I guess, or whatever. You know, he just blew it all, man. Everything he had. You know, I was thinking about it last night and how important it is for you to control your money. This is like a little sidebar thing, but for you to control your money, because it's really God's money. So when you're out there being frivolous and flipping bucks all over the place and doing stupid things with your money, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have a little speaker for your iPhone or something like that, you know, but I'm talking about just flipping that money. By not giving money to God, you're cheating God, man. Who wants to do that? Nobody. So take care of your money, and God will take care of you. So, no man gave him. Verse 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger.'" Verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father's." He says, "You know what? I woke up to the fact that I got to go back and see my dad. This is ridiculous. I'm here eating a pig slop. I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Verse 19, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now, couldn't you see this guy in that animal video eating garbage? That's what he was doing. How sad is that? We should be pricked in our hearts when we read a record like this. Nick once told me about getting a barb stuck in your heart. And I was going to get the whiteboard out, but I couldn't figure out a triangle usage for today. But if you see a fish hook has a little hook on the end. Well, anyway, you take this hook, it goes like this. And right here, there'd be a little hook going backwards. That's the barb. And what happens is when the fish get that and you start reeling them in, guess what? That barb gets caught and can't get it out. And that's what God can do for our hearts. He gets that barb in our heart so the hook of his word can't get out. So that every day, every minute, and every hour, we can show the great love, mercy, and compassion that he has for each and every one of us. Okay. Verse 19. "And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." And he arose, verse 20, "and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's how a lot of people feel today. I started out by saying about a tender heart and how I didn't feel worthy to even have something that I could give to others. How many people feel that they're not worthy? Even as born-again believers, once you know the Word of God, you still don't feel worthy, but you are. And you have to rise up and help others feel worthy too. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son, and this is the direct contrast to the tender heart of the father. And I believe God threw that in there so we would know what the direct contrast was. Now here's the dad. He runs out. And he falls on his face and kisses that kid and said, I'm so thankful that you are here. But not the brother. The tender heart, the hard heart. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. So this is the brother. And he called one of his servants and asked, what do these things mean? What's going on here? What's everybody so jolly about? Nobody told me we were having a party. And he said unto him, verse 27, thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he received him safe and sound. And what's his response, the brother? And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The brother was ticked off that the dad showed that tender heart to him. He was angry. Isn't that how some people get sometimes? Why? Because you think your way is the right way. And it's not. It's not the Word of God. And that's what we need to see. That's the direct contrast. You can look as holy as heck, but be as unholy as H-E double hockey sticks. That's right. When Jesus Christ dealt with the Pharisees, he once called them whited sepulchers. And do you know what a sepulcher is? This is like still onto the hard heart tip, so don't think I'm going out there into outer space. A sepulcher is like a tomb where people are buried. It can also be like a little monument or a shrine built in there. And they go in there and they say prayers and all this stuff. But it's basically like a monument. And when you think about people who think they're holier than thou, they come out as a monument. Look at me. I'm the great and powerful Chuck Incarviti, believer of the world. Look at me. I know all, see all, love all, protect all, pray all. I'm going to read you something in the end that I wrote, kind of a culmination of about 15 things. It's not the way it's got to be. That's not being tender-hearted. See? It's just not. All right. So you don't want to be a monument. Jesus Christ, people flock to Jesus Christ because they knew he loved them. Because he gave his tender heart to each and every person that he came in contact with. It wasn't just Candy because I like her, or it wasn't just Steve because I like him, or it wasn't just Nick or Kim or Ken or any, I mean, pick a person. It wasn't just Dolores because she's my wife. It was each and every person that he gave it to. Each and every, all without exception. Everyone got the love of God. Do you know Jesus Christ was even tender-hearted when he told Peter to get thee behind me, Satan? So don't think being tenderhearted is just wimpy, because it's not. Sometimes speaking the truth in love is the right thing to do. But it's the heart that you convey. It's how you give it that counts. All right. And he was angry, verse 28, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So the dad goes out and says, yo, bud, come on inside. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him at the fatted calf. Verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. That is being tender-hearted. Tender-heartedness is an inside job that came with the new man when we got born again. And I really went out on a thing here. It's an external expression of the internal reality of the presence of God in Christ in you. It is the immutable heart of God. That's what a tender heart is. So, I'm going to read this thing, and it's the last thing that we're going to do. And I pray that you got a little bit of the heart of being tender-hearted today and how important it is. You need to be loving and kind and expose God's heart to the world, because that's one of the most important things that you can do. So, it is possible to be very religious and firm and persevering in the Christian walk, to be sanctified and to be a brave defender and preacher of holiness, to be pious and blameless in outward life, and very zealous in good works, and yet be greatly lacking in tenderness of heart. That all-subduing, all-melting love, which streamed out of the eyes and voice of Jesus, even as he was crucified. Many Christians seem to be loaded with good fruits, but the fruit tastes spoiled. There is a touch of vinegar in their sanctity. Their very purity has an icy coldness to it. Their testimonies are straight and definite, but they lack that melting quality. Their prayers are intelligent and strong and pointed, but they lack the heart-piercing pity of the dying Jesus. The summer heat in them is lacking. They preach eloquently and explained with the utmost nicety what is actual and original sin, and what is pardon and purity. But they lack the burning flame, that interior furnace of throbbing love that sighs and weeps and breaks down under the blistering heat of God's all-consuming love. Tenderness of heart makes its home in the bosom of Jesus. The humiliated one, the one who carried our sickness and sins to Calvary, it feels and sees all things from God's standpoint and lives to receive and convey the spotless and blameless sympathies and affections of Jesus. It understands the heart of God. Tenderness of heart is part of our new nature and cultivated by putting on the renewed mind. And I want to close in the same verse I started in, Ephesians chapter 4, please. I'm sorry I get like kind of emotional, but you know what? Maybe that's what we need a little more of. It's a little raw emotion, man. Now, I wasn't going to say this, but That guy with the brother, I'd give anything to see my brother again. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put on the renewed mind, put on the word of God in your mind, and go out and give it to somebody else. Give God's love and God's heart to others. And I'm sorry if I made you feel bad today, because my heart is never, ever, ever to make anyone feel bad. I always pray that when I share God's word, you walk out feeling 100 times better than you did. And you can, by putting on God's word. Okay? Take it away, Carmen.